Brett Hollander on WBAL.
News Radio 1090.
And WBAL.com.
Brett Hollander back with you tonight. Great to be back. Thanks for being with us. Oh, one of my favorite guests and one of our oldest guests, John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, joins us right now. And Baseball America out with their annual Top 100 Prospect list. John, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm not sure if I like being called one of your oldest guests, one of your longest-serving guests.
That's probably a better way to put it, John. Come on. That's probably a better way to put it, but it's great.
We're just waxing reminiscent about Maryland's long ago days in the ACC a minute ago with your producers.
Yeah, all those many years ago in the ACC. See, this time of the year, John, we have you on to talk baseball, but it usually morphs into ACC Tobacco Road discussion because that is another area of expertise of yours. But I can't feel that way about things anymore when Maryland's playing our old rivals, Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Yeah, Northwestern and all that stuff. But well, let's talk about Carolina basketball, the better, the way they played the other day against NC State. That was a brutal loss. I was there for it. My voice is still suffering from it. So let's move on to baseball.
We can move on to baseball. I know they're already playing everywhere in the Carolinas. Your top 100 list is out. First of all, and I always ask you this every year at this time, the overall quality of the list, the top heaviness of it, and the depth of it.
You know, I kind of like the depth of it a little bit more than I like the top heaviness of it. This is the 25th anniversary of our first top 100 list. So maybe we're just more worried about pitchers these days, but it's very hitter heavy list. So I do like the top of the hitters. You know, I'm excited about the shortstops, the Corey Seegers, the Carlos Correas, the Francisco Lindors, those kind of guys. And obviously the power of Chris Bryant, Joey Gallo, the dynamic ability of a Byron Buxton when he's healthy. But the pitching depth is pretty shy. Maybe that's a good sign because I'm tired of these, 3.5 hour, 3-1 games with all the strikeouts. So I would like the hitters to come back a little bit. You know what? We're 17 years out of expansion, Brett. Maybe we should know that pitching is – maybe that's the biggest reason that pitching has taken over the game is that – you know, there hasn't been expansion. Pitching has had 17 years to catch up to hitting, and it's caught up with a vengeance. I hope that some of these prospects can help the hitters catch back up.
Yeah, no doubt. And the fact of testing and everything else, the game has been dominated by arms these last few years. Runs and home runs are at a premium, and that shows on your list. As you start, and maybe this is, I mean, you can correct me, John, you start with what? The first six are position players here, and then there's only three pitchers in your top 15, is that right? Four pitchers in your top 15?
Yeah, and that's right. And it's really, and those pitchers, a lot of those pitchers are, I mean, you look at a guy like Giolito, A-ball, look at Giolito, the Nationals. You look at Julio Urias, kid's 18, he was born in August 1996. I think people who are listening to this all probably know what we were doing in August of 1996. So, yeah, I mean, he's the second best pitching prospect in the game for me. And you go up and down the list, and the ready for big league guys, you know, I just think the teams are so they're so enamored with the bullpen right now, and bringing that 96 out of the bullpen. I mean, the Orioles fans saw what it meant to them last year with Andrew Miller, just how different it was to have, you know, that strikeout guy in the bullpen, and then we saw in the postseason with the Royals, and what it meant for the Royals to have those strikeout guys in the bullpen. And you know, we used to talk about a closer and a setup man. And now we talk about a seventh-inning guy and an eighth-inning guy and your lefty specialist. And that's really the difference. And so I feel like sometimes when you go up the ladder as pitchers, it's harder and harder to stay a starter. I mean, the threshold for what it takes to be a starter is a lot harder these days because teams are just so quick to put those power arms in the bullpen now. And it's just a different game they're playing right now, and I don't know what we do to get away from that specialization. But I'm not a fan of it as far as the entertainment value. It's a lot more fun to watch a guy go 7-8 innings than it is to watch a guy go 5 and then have the parade of middle relievers. For me, as a fan,
I agree with you.
I that's a big reason why you see. It's another reason why you don't see as many pitchers at the top of these prospect lists. Because we don't value the reliever as a prospect because we're looking for more value in terms of a prospect of those starting pitchers. So a lot of those top arms, like a guy like Mike Fultonevich, sticks out. Where last year he was in the Astros system, he was in the 50s on our top 100 list. And then he got to the big leagues as a reliever. He got traded to the Braves. He's still very talented. He still has good stuff. There's a chance he could be a starter. We've already seen him pitch well as a reliever. Kind of hard to get that out of your head if you're a big league manager and you see 99 out of your bullpen. You want to see that.
Right.
You know, three nights a week. And that's where Mike Fulton, he's a micro in some ways. That's kind of what happens to prospect.
Yep, there's no question about it. The game has been transitioning to this way for really 20 years now, but we saw...
I'm La Russa.
Yep. Well, look at this. So the Orioles have two prospects on this list, and I know some Orioles fans are frustrated with your list, John. You only get two in. Some other lists, your competitors maybe have three. I don't think any others have four Orioles prospects on it, but not so much that... It's the placement of the Orioles' top prospect, Dylan Bundy, which is by far the lowest. You have him at 48. By the way, I should mention that on your list, the number 59 prospect is Eduardo Rodriguez, who was traded for Andrew Miller last year. So that's a pretty special left-hander, potential starter in the middle of your list. But Dylan Bundy, this says to me that you are very discouraged about where he is entering the 2015 campaign, or am I overstating that?
No, I think that's fair. I would say... The better way to say it, we were very discouraged by how he ended 2014. That's what I'd say. Mm. Even though his stuff did back toward the end of the year, it's still hard to find scouts outside the organization who were encouraged by seeing him. You know, obviously, inside the organization, they have more information. But I think sometimes we are skeptical of what we get from inside the organization, not just the Orioles, of all organizations. They pump up their guys. And from what we got outside the organization was more like, And let's compare him with Eduardo Rodriguez. Eduardo Rodriguez finished the year in AAA. Dylan Bundy has some big league experience in the past. But, I mean, if he comes to camp all good, where is everyone expecting to play? Your AA? At least to start the year?
Yeah, start the year, boom.
I think that's reasonable. So Rodriguez is going to start in AAA. They're similar in age. I don't have their ages in front of me. I would guess that Rodriguez is a year older, but neither one of them is, like, you know, old for their level. Rodriguez is left-handed, which is a check mark for him. He's shown three pitches at upper levels, and I saw him hit 96 myself last year in the AAA playoffs. Mm. That's about what Bundy's doing. So they're not that dissimilar. I think if Dylan Bundy's – and it does – a lot of scouts we talk to can't get past the fact that this guy is a six-foot righty. I know he's physical and all that, but he's 6'1", and when he misses up with the fastball, if it doesn't have special velocity, if it comes in flat, he's going to get hit. That's what happened to him last year. That fastball will flatten out. Doesn't have that great downhill plane, which is why scouts prefer the Kevin Gausman body to the Dylan Bundy body. So I still like him, and I still think what he's done in the past, I mean, he is a top 50 prospect, so obviously we like him. But am I sold he's going to be an elite big league pitcher? No, I'm not. 2 years ago I was, and right now I'm not. And Tommy John's not automatic, and he's had some issues coming back from it as far as getting back to his former self. And so if he does and he has his confidence, you know, confidence goes a long way for any athlete in any sport. I don't feel like he pitched with a lot of confidence last year. And if he doesn't pitch with confidence this year, maybe that's what he is. Maybe he's more of a third starter. You know, who's just tantalizing rather than a real elite frontline guy. I think we all, again, know what confidence can do for an athlete. So I hope he makes us look bad, and I hope he performs better because I have nothing against the guy. But I think there's reason to have healthy skepticism with him.
John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, is with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090, talking about the Orioles on the top 100 prospect list. There's only two. And again, to be fair, the Orioles have graduated quite a few guys in recent years, guys who are high-end guys. I mean, I'm sure if Kevin Gausman was eligible for this list right now, you may have him in the top 10, and he's been really high the last few years, but he's not eligible, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if he were still eligible for this list, he'd be probably the top-ranked pitcher on this list, and I like him. I like him a lot. I mean, it's hard to put those kind of discussions, but, yeah, I mean, you compare him to a guy like Lucas Giolito, he's better than Lucas Giolito, you know?
Mm.
So, yeah, you put him up there. I'm bullish on Gausman. You know, Hunter Harvey, you know, a guy who's lower on our list, you know, than other lists. I don't see what the other lists are seeing. I see an A-ball pitcher who hasn't pitched a full season, who hasn't shown you he has consistently a changeup. I don't I like him. I like the arm. It's a raw arm. Just because his dad pitched in the big leagues doesn't mean this guy's, you know, got super polish. He doesn't. He has a little bit less experience compared to other high school guys his age. That's good in some ways. It's a fresher arm. But does nobody else have a red flag over the fact that he finished the year with a forearm strain and couldn't throw more than 90 innings? I mean, I just don't think I'm being unreasonable. Well, we have him very similar to a guy like Ronaldo Lopez for the Nationals organization who finished the year in A-ball, similar experience. Ronaldo Lopez throws harder. We've seen three pitches. We haven't seen that consistently out of Hunter Harvey. So, I mean, we like Hunter Harvey. It's a big arm, but top 40 prospect in all of baseball, I don't think you're getting that in a trade. I don't think you're getting that kind of value. Like you know, Steven Souza is ranked a little bit higher than him. Look at what Steven Souza just got in the trade. He was basically the main guy in a trade for Will Myers.
Yeah.
Do you think the Orioles could have gotten Will Myers for Hunter Harvey?
Not as a main piece. No, I mean, and listen, no. You know Hunter as well as anybody. You actually saw him pitch in high school in the backwoods there in North Carolina.
Yeah, Bandies.
Yeah, I want to ask you about three guys quickly. The next three guys on the Orioles prospect list, and this is pretty much across the board, whomever you ask, as far as how high they are and what they've accomplished. I'm not surprised you don't have Christian Walker on the list. We've talked about Christian in the past. I kind of want to move on from him. But Chance Sisko and Daryl Alvarez, how close were they to cracking your top 100 list?
Yeah, Sisko has his backers, you know, because of the bat. I mean, and we have a feature coming up soon about just how important it is to make contact and how making contact and not striking out correlates with success at the big league level, especially on a team-wide basis. And he does that. That's a great skill to have. He gets the barrel of the ball. He gets the barrel of the bat to the ball on a consistent basis. It's all going to be about where the value winds up for him, whether he can stay behind the plate or not. And he's pretty new at that. So, but I mean, he's the closest of those guys. Alvarez, I think, is more of a guy who's hard to rank because of the age. And he's not as the high-dollar Cuban. We definitely get penalized by a high-dollar Cuban like a Ruzy Castillo. But could this guy be a piece for the Orioles in 2015? That's very possible. He definitely hit and really impressed people in the Eastern League last year. None of the scouts I've talked to see him as a star. I do. You know, most of them describe him as a second-division regular. But there's a place for those guys. And that's a player that has some value. Maybe on a championship team, he's best served being a 400 at bat or 350 at bat kind of guy, but that best Buck Showalter especially is getting guys like that to play big roles on a championship caliber team.
John Manuel, great insight. Go to baseballamerica.com for more. John, you know I'll be bothering you before the season to talk about the latest big baseball issues entering the 2015 campaign and to get more depth from not only the top 100 list, but also more prospects on this list. Give me one name before I let you go on the top 100 list that you think has a chance to make almost a pennant-changing impact for his club in 2015.
Well, you know, I do think the Urias kid, Julio Urias of the Dodgers, is one of those guys. The Dodgers have three premium prospects, Peterson, Seager, and Urias. And Urias is this 18-year-old left-hander, and I mean, a Mexican left-hander in a Dodger uniform who's precocious. I mean, I'm sorry, you have to make the Fernando Valenzuela.
You have to.
And, you know, this guy could be, whether he's a lefty reliever for them down the stretch or what, he's got three outstanding pitches, and he might just have that it factor like Fernando had. I mean, that's rare, but it's been 35 years, so it'd be awesome to have Fernando Mania Part 2 in L.A.
John Manuel for Baseball America. John, thank you so much.
All right, Brett. Talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure. John Manuel will come back with more next here on WBAL News Radio 1090.